I'm Marco Werman. This is The World. Our GeoQuiz today focused on the news, rather how the news business worked 144 years ago. On this day in 1865, the word was spreading about President Lincoln's assassination. He'd been shot the night before at a theater performance in Washington. He died early in the morning of the 15th. It took about a day for most Americans to get the news. The rest of the world didn't find out until about 11 days later. David Paul Nichols is a State Department historian and the author of Under the Wire, How the Telegraph Changed Diplomacy. Mr. Nichols, tell us, first of all, how the news of the death of Lincoln spread from Washington, D.C. to the rest of the world.
There was a telegraph line between Washington, D.C. and Newfoundland, and that the news traveled there quite quickly, but there was no line across the Atlantic. So as a result, a fast steamer carried the news. As you said, it took 11 days. And it arrived at Greencastle, which is near Londonderry in the north of Ireland, on the 26th of April.
So Greencastle, Ireland is the answer to our GeoQuiz. And by the way, David, this story of Lincoln's death was the first scoop for the news agency Reuters, wasn't it?
It was. It was a major scoop. They were ahead of the competition by 2 hours, and this was one of the major stories of the year.
And how did Reuters actually stay ahead of the competition by 2 hours?
There's a fascinating story. The steamer had left, and they had to find some way of getting to that steamer if they wanted to beat the competition. And so they hired a tugboat. They were able to catch up to the steamer, throw this canister containing the news of Lincoln's assassination onto the ship, and from thence to history.
So all this kind of maritime racing to get the news across the ocean was due to the fact that there was no transatlantic cable. But a year later, a transatlantic cable was installed. How did the ability to spread news worldwide within hours now sort of change diplomacy? I mean, this is kind of your bailiwick.
One of the major effects is that it greatly reduced the power of foreign-based diplomats, ambassadors. They'd been very powerful when they had to act on their own initiative. But in the days of the telegraph, you could just cable back for instructions. There was no reason for them to make major decisions.
And apparently even one minister got in trouble because of kind of the autonomy that American diplomats enjoyed before the cable.
Yes, during the revolution of 1848 in France, which was a democratic revolution, which the American minister, Richard Rush, was very supportive of, he wanted to recognize the regime quite quickly because it was another democracy, of which there were very few in the world at the time. And instead of sending back to Washington for instructions, he decided on his own initiative to recognize the regime. And that became quite a scandal with the European diplomatic corps because he completely broke with protocol.
But even into the early 1960s, diplomatic exchanges could still take a very long time. I mean, the cable didn't solve everything, did it?
No. One of the most interesting examples of that is perhaps the closest we've ever come to nuclear war was the Cuban Missile Crisis. And it was taking a very long time for President Kennedy and the Soviet leader Khrushchev to communicate with one another. It was taking 10 to 12 hours in general. And this so alarmed decision makers on both sides that they decided after that to establish a hotline which would circumvent many of the barriers, bureaucratic barriers as well as technological barriers, which had hindered the transmission of these extremely important messages.
I'm curious to know, though, I mean, what your thoughts are on this. I mean, one compares, you know, the Navy SEALs that freed the captain from the grip of Somali pirates earlier this week. That news probably reached the world in a matter of seconds. What's been the effect on diplomacy in the Internet age and this, like, you know, second-by-second news cycle?
Well, one challenge for diplomats is that a lot of times our first reactions to situations are very emotional. We might be angry or afraid, and those often aren't the wisest. Diplomats benefit from the passage of time for heads to cool. So it's made a real challenge to crisis management to try and get the emotion level down and have people think, well, what's the most rational thing to do? So in some ways it's hindered diplomacy.
David Paul Nichols, a historian at the U.S. State Department and also the author of Under the Wire, How the Telegraph Changed Diplomacy. Thank you for your time.
Oh, thank you very much.